The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to Mike TV. This is episode 35, in which we will be covering Better Call Saul, season 5, episode 4, entitled Namaste. Namaste, Dean.
Hi, Lisa. I'm talking to you through a medical mask.
Mm-hmm. Well advised, yes, because I'm sure the germs can travel through the internets, through the interwebs, and
never
attack
know.
Us all.
We're learning new things every day.
Welcome to the zombie apocalypse. We're in the end of days now, folks. It's happening.
I'm listening to REM's Into the World nonstop. Mm-hmm. I've watched Outbreak 17 times. I've actually decided I might watch The Walking Dead.
I called my mom this morning and I was like, Mom, good thing we watched The Walking Dead because, you know, we know how to handle this, right? You're prepared, right? I said, you've got your katana. You know how to use it. You're ready.
I'm training my pet tiger of who to kill and who not to kill.
Daryl fought with a morning star this week on The Walking Dead. So, you know, I think I'll get myself one of those. Looked pretty easy to wield.
I'm not even sure I know what a morning star is.
It's a baton with like a chain and a ball on the end, and the ball has spikes, and you know,
I thought that was called a mace.
Yeah, a mace.
Something like that. Oh, okay, same thing.
I guess. They call it a morning star.
Cool.
Hey. Hey, so I'm Lisa. Joining me is Dean. Dean's drinking from a Winnie the Pooh cup right now.
That's right. It's my Xinjiang Ping cup.
All right, Dean. So you're safe and sound. No coronavirus for you.
No, I'm on coronacation, Lisa. Mm-hmm. School's closed for 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm going to be partying up inside of my house, trying not to kill my kids for 2 weeks.
And time to catch up on TV. Yeah, schools are closed. Grocery stores have emptied. What's next? We shall see. But hey, we're here. We're watching Better Call Saul. We're watching some other stuff, too. Are you watching anything else?
Yeah, several good things this week. Dispatches from Elsewhere continues to be, I believe, my current favorite show on television right now.
Well, I do love that show. I've been so busy with work, with event cancellations. Ugh. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. So
this week we follow Sally Janice. Fields' character, Janice.
Yes, love her. She's so little.
And we learn a lot about her past and what makes her character tick. And what I really got from this episode, and I've felt this the past two, but I won't spoil anything for you, show so far, is that these characters, they do such a good job of making sure that even the prelude always starts with, this is you, pretend this is you, assume this is you. Mm-hmm. And we really see these completely different people in completely different walks of life and times of their lives, yet they find a way to, every time I watch it, with Jason Segel's character, with the trans character who, you know, which you might not think, the old lady character, I've found something I've connected to my life or the emotions that they're feeling, and I've felt those at some point. And so
who's
it's a
the
really,
trans character?
The girl. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head.
Simone,
so yeah.
She is trans.
Yes, yeah.
You know, okay. Here's how much I just have stopped noticing stuff like that. I was watching that episode and Sean walked through and said, is that a trans woman?
Yeah.
Like just in passing. And I said, no, that's Simone. She just has a deep voice, kind of like my voice, you know?
Right.
I was like, no, that's not, no. And, so for sure, you're for sure on that.
I mean, the actress is, I looked it up. Like when I was looking it up. Yeah, the actress is trans.
Oh, I didn't know
that. But I assume she's supposed to be trans in the show, because the whole scene last week where she shows up at the Gay Pride Festival and she's with a lot of the...
Right, and she can't participate. She's too socially dysfunctional to participate. Yeah, okay. And they do show those scenes of her as a child where she wore her hair kind of short and boyish and...
Yep.
You know, okay. Oh, it's all falling in place. So I confess, I watched the first like maybe 10 minutes of this week's episode and I just fell asleep or something. I just, it was after Better Call Saul. So I did see the cartoony introduction of Janice and I loved it. And it, I was like, oh my God, are we watching Up?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't handle this.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a really good episode and I look forward to seeing Fredwynn's episode next week. Because I, like I said, I think it's going to start getting dark with his conspiracy-laden mind. So to see how he perceives everything.
I'll get caught up. I'll get caught up. So what else are you watching?
Avenue 5 this week.
You're caught up on Avenue 5? Yes, I'm like three episodes behind, and I've heard I've heard Von Hessler just raving about it. I can't believe it.
This week is, I think, the best episode of the season. And there is a five-minute scene that involves a panicked crowd and an airlock. And it is, I've watched it. I've gone back to the episode and only watched this scene about six times because I just laugh uncontrollably. It's the scene that actually Von Hessler talked about where it goes from laughing to sheer horror, but it just does it back and forth over and over again.
So you were behind when last we spoke of Avenue 5. What was your take on the whole poop ring?
Hilarious. And they just keep adding to the ring, not with poop but with bodies and all sorts of crap.
The whole satellite around the ship is hysterical, but when it became literal shit, it kind of lost me, especially when Josh Gad's character decided to put fireworks out in it.
Yes, that was
Actually was beautiful, and then I found myself so horrified at the
Well, let's say Hugh Laurie's descent into or falling out of character continues to the point to where this week we learn that even physically, not everything on him is real.
Oh, no.
So it was a good episode. And then Deb's third episode was this week, which is actually week two because they showed episodes one and two last week. And that's on Hulu, FX on Hulu.
It continues
to be cool.
I'm going to.
I like everything about it, except I really don't like the actress who plays the main character.
Why?
She just seems very wooden. And the way the show is, too, it almost reminds me of how, although when I look back, I don't mind it as much, but remember how when The Matrix first came out and everything about The Matrix was awesome, except there was always Keanu with, like, I know Kung Fu. Oh, what is this? You know, she just comes off kind of like that. So,
she's the female Keanu Reeves, huh?
Yeah, maybe. So that can't be that bad. You know, and then one more thing.
Don't do it to me.
The Masked Singer.
When the fuck is that show going off the air on hiatus?
Oh, we still got like a month and a half of this. Oh,
God.
Because they're in those masks, so they can't spread the coronavirus.
Please stop making time for this show.
This week, Sarah Palin.
What? Sarah Palin?
Oh, yeah, you
betcha. Who wants to hear her sing?
Yeah, she sang Baby Got Back.
Oh, yeah.
About the one song most of us want to hear her sing, am I right?
Yeah. Please don't watch this show, everybody. Please don't watch this show. That's all I can say. That's just horrible. Okay. What was her mask? I'm even asking.
Honestly, I don't even remember.
Okay, well, that's good. Super memorable show. Anything else on your list, Dean?
No, those are my big ones. Those are the big ones for the week.
All right, let's dive into our main show, Better Call Saul. Season 5, Episode 4, Namaste. Very obvious what the name of this one comes from. It's Howard's license plate. And boy, we're going to talk some Howard in this episode. I loved this episode. What were your overall thoughts?
I don't know. This was a little slower episode for me.
A little, yeah.
In fact, I found myself about 20 minutes in, I realized I was on my phone and I had to like rewind it about 10 minutes because I just...
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
I liked everything with Hank and Gomez. Of course, loved the ending with Mike.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, but I was a little bored with the Saul and Kim
this week. Well, I've got the Saul and Kim stuff combined up to a point. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll come back to them at the end. And then I have the Gus and Hank stuff combined because it was so interspliced. And then I have the Mike stuff as its own, too. So we'll probably finish up with Mike, as the show does. Yeesh. Okay, so we have the cold open. Saul goes into a pawn shop. And you know what? It's funny that you say this episode was slow because my notes are Saul goes into a pawn shop and exhaustively picks up everything and mocks tossing these items, finally settling on some bowling balls.
Yeah.
I did feel like, okay, what's he doing? I did think, oh, this is, he's looking for more stuff to chuck off the balcony. This is horrible. You know, at the heels of the beer bottle chucking from the end of the previous episode, that right. was the obvious assumption, I think, that the audience would be drawn to. Never did we know that this was actually a future scene from the episode right. that they obviously spliced out to the beginning as a teaser. And loved the reveal with the bowling balls. So we'll come back to that, of course, when it happens in the episode. But that was...
Yeah, when he's swinging the hatchet, I even at first was like, is he just really bad at trying to find a self-defense weapon from Nacho? And
or he's preparing for the oncoming COVID-19.
Yeah.
No. So our opening credits were the cell phone drawer. Of course, the iconic drawer of cell phones. Sans the Hello Kitty cell phone. I didn't see it in there, but there's got to be a story with that Hello Kitty cell phone. Something's got yep. to come with that one. So put a pin in that, folks. And then we open with Jimmy and Kim are naked in bed after clearly a night of partying after that beer bottle toss they started off with. How'd you like that naked scene?
Yeah, I mean, like half of it, I guess.
yeah. Whew, okay. Well, at least I guess that certainly let us know that those two are still getting it on. So good for them. Then, of course, the iconic double teeth brushing and spitting scene. And that went on longer than I prefer to, although a cool mirror shot there of Jimmy in the mirror. But we've seen them brush their teeth before. I guess this is just kind of showing the mundane again. And then leaving for work, Kim tells Jimmy that yesterday was bad, but today she's going to fix it. They see all the broken bottles in the parking lot, and Jimmy, of course, blows it off. But then after he leaves, Kim stays behind, sweeps it all up. Nice touch to that story, I thought.
Yeah, and again, just shows that Jimmy's fine leaving a mess behind him, you know, like he's fine leaving wreckage in his wake, and Kim just morally is not there.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah, good analogy. I like that. Saul visits his 50% off goons in jail. I can't even remember their names, Hanky and Stinky or whatever, Sticky and Ray, something like that. Saul tells them he'll fix their rehab stint. Lays out all of his fees very clearly. They try to get him on their 50% off gig. He says that is the 50% off price. They're clearly too stupid to comprehend all the stuff he's saying. But it's evident here that the money is key for him. Then the dumbasses start talking about, oh, they can just get free lawyers, you know, public fenders, fenders, Dean. But Saul pleads his case saying, you know, he's the real deal. And after all of it, by the end, the goons agree to his terms, even agreeing that they're going to get the money from poor old grandma.
Yep.
And of course, Saul has no qualms about that either.
Right.
So then Saul meets, or anything else about these goons in this scene?
No, again, I just think that I like that they're kind of the Skinny Pete and Badger of this season.
They're pretty great, but again, yeah, how much more of them did we need?
Right.
So Saul meets Howard for lunch. Great scene here. Great scene. It's very stiff and awkward despite Howard's attempts to break the ice. He asks Jimmy to describe Saul Goodman, and Jimmy gives a really colorful description. There's also that great line about, so Saul Goodman, but can I call you Jimmy? Yeah. And Jimmy says, well, my friends still call, you know, Saul Goodman's my professional right. name. My friends still call me Jimmy. I guess you can too. I mean, Jimmy is just being really cold with him. Not that I really blame him. It's really evident that Howard is making an attempt here. And right. as we predicted, sure enough, Howard offers him a job at HHM. He expresses a lot of regret in not hiring him when he had the chance. He's clearly kind of trying to pin that on Chuck, which that really was Chuck's hand in that. You know, Chuck really didn't allow Howard to make any moves there concerning Jimmy. But right. even though Howard is much more graceful and not saying those things directly about Chuck. Well, and then Saul, still very sarcastic with him, congratulates him on his cleansing moment of clarity. And Howard offers him the job straightforwardly and expresses his admiration for Saul's honesty. Says that he likes that he says what he means what he says. Like back in that scholarship meeting, how you stuck up for Christy Esposito. I loved the callback there to last season. And he says, you know, Jimmy is scrappy and he could use that Charlie hustle at HHM. So Howard's given the big sell here. Jimmy is clearly, or Saul is clearly, just not interested. And Howard finally just asks him to think about it. And then as they leave, Howard hugs him, which Saul slash Jimmy is not interested in, clearly. The look on his face when Howard hugs him says it all. And then as Howard drives off, Saul sees his license plate, Namaste, with a 3 instead of an E, and he smirks at it. So this lunch scene,
I think, again, kind of like on Kim, we're seeing another character who, you know, in season 1 and 2 was almost, even though he wasn't like the bad guy, he's always been kind of the antagonist to Jimmy. And we're seeing him, I think, honestly be vulnerable. I think he actually does feel remorseful. And I think he's trying to make amends.
You're talking about Howard.
Yeah, about Howard.
Oh, and I think Howard's being very sincere.
And I think Jimmy just can't handle the fact that because he's so callous and mm-hmm. not like that, it's like he refuses to believe that anybody's actually could be like that, especially that, oh, you still have your pretty car and everything like that. You don't really know what loss is. You don't really know what suffering is.
Yeah. And clearly you think you're some namaste guru yeah. now, out to make amends and spread the peace. And oh yeah, Saul is completely not taken by this at all.
So it's like another example of how he just can't except when things are finally going his way. And even like, this is actually the opportunity of a lifetime for him. He could become a legitimate lawyer.
He's had opportunities like that before. Says, like, talk to your friend over at Sandpiper, when he had the Sandpiper case right. and he took it to Ed Begley Jr.
Right. Yeah.
Can remember the name of, he even says the name of that firm and I can never remember it.
Yeah.
That was an opportunity of a lifetime. He had that great office and car and assistant.
Right. But it's like what Kim told him last season, that he's always the loser. You're always on the bottom. Like, he likes being on the bottom.
Yeah. Sad. Oh, I always say that. It's sad. This show's so sad. Oh, well, I applaud Howard's attempt, just too little too late, but more to come for Howard. Mm-hmm. But we're going to cut to Kim is at a Mesa Verde meeting with Paige and Kevin, and she does a great pitch suggesting that they move their Tucum Carey build to another plot of land. She really had me going on it. I mean, it seemed like the best thing. She even says, they even say something about Everett Acker, the old man, and mm-hmm. she even says, ousting an old man from his house is never a good look. So she goes all in on this pitch, but Kevin and Paige are not sympathetic to Mr. Acker, and they don't agree. And so then Paige says that she's already got a call into the sheriff, and by Friday at noon, Acker will be out and they will be able to proceed. So cold-hearted business here, and Kim's trying to fix it and it's not working. So of course, what does she do? She then goes to court and watches Saul's case before the judge. And this was a wonderful scene. Now, I was delighted in this because I've wanted to see more Saul courtroom action. And here it was at its finest. I have Saul pulls a great switcheroo with the witness on the stand. It was just wonderful. Let me try to describe it. So he's making the witness on the stand clearly 100% definitively say that his defendant was the man who robbed the store or whatever. And, you know, you're absolutely sure this is the man sitting right here. Yes, yes, yes. The witness is emphatic. And then Saul points out that the man sitting there is actually not the defendant at all. He's just some guy that works at a bar down the street. The actual defendant is sitting back in the back of court. And everybody is just aghast. Even the judge is completely annoyed. Great scene with this judge. She was, Mr. Goodman. You know, yeah. She's really mad. And even Saul points out to her with a little wink that even she didn't recognize the defendant. She demands to see the counsel in her chambers. And then later, we see Kim is still waiting for Jimmy as he emerges from the judge's chambers. Very happy in the two words that were pronounced for this case, mistrial.
Yeah.
So he feels a victory in a mistrial, and Kim tells him that she needs his help. Had to see this coming, right?
Right.
All right. So I'm going to cut away from Saul here for just a moment and Kim and skip over to Gus. Anything else before we come, before we leave there, Kim and Jimmy for just a moment? And
no, let's start cleaning the fryers.
Wow. Who could have thought? Poor Lyle. Wow. So at Los Pollos Hermanos, Gus is waiting for a call with a cell phone. And we've seen Lyle before. Poor Lyle. Gotta love this guy. I mean, he is the forever, and I mean this non-disparagingly, but he's that guy who's going to forever be a manager at a fast food restaurant.
Right.
And he's very proud of the work he does. And poor Gus just exploits the shit out of that. It's awful. It's awful. Anyway, and we've seen Gus, we've seen Lyle really kiss up to Gus before in previous seasons. We've seen the dynamic here. But anyway, Gus is waiting for the call with the flip phone. Lyle sends everybody home. He's the last employee for the night. He's about to leave, but he sees Gus standing over the fryer, and Gus bullies him about the condition of the fryer, and Lyle agrees to take care of it. He says, "Mr. Fring, I'm so sorry," apologizes profusely, and starts to get to work on this fryer. Meanwhile, Hank and Gomi are on the lookout at one of the dead drop sites that, of course, Crazy Eight told them about.
You mean the one by the culvert?
Yes, the culvert. There's What's a great convo on this word culvert.
Culvert,
as they discuss the origins of this word. Hank says it sounds like a Dutch word for crotch rot, which I actually hated writing in my notes. So gross. They watch their target from a distance. He also jabs at Gomi, calling him Ansel Adams. Make sure you get your shot. So they're trying to get some photos of this guy. Hank says he's keeping his team at bay, says they want this perpetrator nice and relaxed, you know, like Gomi's mom on date night, to which Gomez replies, "No, more like your hand every night." And I really appreciated that line. Back at Los Pollos Hermanos, Gus and Lyle inspect the fryer, which is probably cleaner than any single thing in my house. I mean, it's the cleanest a fryer could ever be. But Gus just looks at Lyle and tells him to go home and starts to roll up his sleeves like he's just going to do the job himself. Lyle can't handle that. And he begs Mr. Fring to please let him make it right. And Gus tells him, go ahead and take another crack at it. Poor Lyle. All right, then things start really cutting back and forth. Back at the dead drop, Gomi and Hank get the pictures of their guy picking up the money. And the scenes just start cutting from the pursuit of this perpetrator to Gus staring at the phone to poor, sweaty, sweaty Lyle scrubbing the hell out of that fryer as sweat is just dripping off the end of his nose and he is taking such great meticulous care. Who could have thought watching a man scrub a fryer so nervously and intensely could actually be pretty good and pretty interesting, and maybe because it's cut with the intense scenes of the pursuit of the perpetrator, but it worked for me. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it showed him almost not worrying, but you could just tell the tension that he is having to sacrifice all this money, potentially sacrifice a couple of his employees, and how he knows it's the right thing in the long run, but you know, just how much he hates still being under the thumb and having to do this because of the frickin' Salamancas.
Yeah. And I think, but ultimately he hates he's losing that money.
Right.
He hates that, hates it. And Hank even knows he hates it at the end. So this is where I got a little confused, Dean. So I need your help. So in the end, Hank and Gomi are actually on foot pursuit of this perp. And the perpetrator goes through a drain pipe and comes out at the other end where we see Victor waiting like in a getaway car. And the perpetrator does assure Victor that, you know, he thinks he lost them. And then later we see Hank and Gomez back at the original drop site where the perps abandoned his car. And they're counting the money that they've retrieved, which is, what did they say, about $700,000. Yeah. And they're discussing, you know, Gomez is pleased with the results of this heist. Hank thinks it's a booby prize. And Gomez is like, well, we've got, you know, 700K. We've got three other perps in cuffs. And this is where I was like, wait, who? There were three other guys? Where the hell were they? We didn't see them at all.
Well, they were talking about them. They were talking about how there were the four dead drops. And they kept saying, like, I wonder, you know, we got first base, second base. So hopefully they'll go all the way home. So, yeah, I think
got perps from other sites.
Right. It wasn't the same.
That they were also watching. Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, shoot. Okay.
That
wasn't real clear.
No, I assumed first, too, that they had just been watching this guy hit every drop, but they must have had
stakeouts at all the drop sites. Okay. That makes sense. So then Hank does, we see his whole team gathered around and he does give the great victory speech and, you know, talks about how some drug dealer out there is lamenting over the loss of a lot of money. And sure enough, we know who that is. And Gus gets the call. He's told that it went down exactly like it was supposed to. And then he breaks the phone in half. Smart, smart. And then he goes out and tells Lyle to go home. Poor Lyle, who's, you know, really looking for the job well done from his boss. Lyle even very meagerly asks if the fryer is clean, Mr. Fring.
It's acceptable.
Yeah, that's all Gus can say to this poor, poor, pitiful man. What a dick. What a dick. So anything else to say about the scene? I loved it. I feel so sad for Lyle.
Yeah, but we've seen in the past, he is nice to Lyle. Like, he always refers to him as his number one employee and all this stuff. So like, it's like in the straight world, it's his right-hand man, right?
Like, I think I got the impression from this that he has bullied Lyle like this before. This did not seem like something new that was happening to Lyle.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was necessarily bullying. I think it was, like you said, because, well, but Lyle almost, I think, like, reveres him in the sense, you know, like he is the manager, but he knows, like, this is who I want to be, is Mr. Fring. And because even Fring at first is like, yes, of course he's disappointed, but he tries to send him home, and Lyle's the one like, no, I can do it. I can do it. Just give me a chance. Right. Like he is like the underling who like wants to continuously get approval from the father who never says, I love you type of thing.
Mm.
All he needs is a hug. Gus just needs to give him a hug.
I know.
A little pat on the shoulder.
It's all Gus had to give him. Just like last season, all Gus had to do was get freaking Nacho some medical treatment. All he had to do was just tell Lyle, wow, you did such a great job today. And he couldn't even do it. Gus is the worst. He's just the worst. Let's cut to Mike. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I want to cut back to Saul. I want to end with Mike. So Saul visits Mr. Acker. He has no problem opening that fence. I love the dichotomy there of Saul opening the fence versus Kim opening the fence last episode. He offers his services to a very cantankerous Mr. Acker. And as Mr. Acker is trying to slam the door in Saul's face, Saul gives him a piece of paper and says, wait, just look at this. Look at this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I certainly did not expect the next words to come out of Mr. Acker's mouth, but here they are. Right. And I quote, it's a man fucking a horse. Firstly, ew and disgusting. And please, everybody, do not ever Google that or go down that rabbit hole, which we know Saul got this off the internet. But he uses that as his visual aid to say, listen, he hates Mesa Verde, and he's the guy who will stick it to them. And he tells Mr. Acker that he wants to represent him. And then next we see he's leaving Mr. Acker's house, calling Kim, giving her the good news. Says, guess who's got a client in Tucumcari? And she is thrilled, and they discuss how they will celebrate later that night.
Right.
I believe that it's at this point, as Saul's leaving, that he gets the idea to go and buy those bowling balls at the pawn shop.
Yeah.
So then en route to his celebration with Kim, he has his own glorious moment where it's the best scene of the episode. And I talked about last episode how this vandalism that they were doing, throwing beer bottles. Well, he really escalates this here. And this is horrible what he does. Awful. But we see him approach a house that has a gated driveway. We do not know this is Howard's house yet. We will soon. And he starts to chuck the bowling balls. He's gloved up, has a cap on his head. You know, he's in disguise. He starts to chuck the bowling balls over the fence. He throws the first one. It lands in the driveway. Great scenes of him jumping up and looking over the gate to kind of gauge where the car is. And that's when we see the Namaste license plate. We know, oh my God, he's at Howard's.
Yep.
The next bowling ball hits the car, starts the car alarm, and he has enough time before he runs off to throw that third bowling ball, which of course breaks the back windshield. Howard comes out in his balcony, sees the chaos and damage on his car, and is completely shocked. What the fuck? Why? Yeah,
poor Howard.
This is poor Howard. And why, Jimmy? This was awful.
Again, I think it's a way to all these other characters who, again, Howard is someone who, you know, up until really last season when you saw him start breaking down, has always been someone who, as a character, everyone hates. And now even Jimmy's making people feel bad for him. Because Jimmy is losing his, you know, Saul has no soul. And as he slowly reverts fully to Saul, you are getting all the likability, or at least the not likability, because he's still a great character that you love to watch, but he is becoming a despicable person.
Oh.
You know, just in every shape of the way.
This is... Remember his sunroof steamer or whatever the hell, the prank he used? This is like I don't know if this is worse than that. Maybe it is. This is pretty horrible. This is another version of, you know, like.
This was probably a more costly, maybe not as disgusting, but.
But lashing out on someone's vehicle. You know, he seems to go after the cars for some reason.
Right.
Do you think Howard will suspect Jimmy in this?
Probably it will depend on how Jimmy, because you know he's not going to just like be the end of it. He's going to go reach out to Howard to call him to not accept the job or something. So depending on how he acts toward Howard, I think he'll either figure it out or not. But I don't think like any ramifications will necessarily come from this.
I mean, he was not wearing gloves when he... Right. bought the bowling balls, so unless he wiped them, which he probably did. Do we see a scene of him wiping them?
I don't remember.
It's, you know, there's a chance maybe his fingerprints are on it. I don't know. This is that was a strange move. Of course, this is the descent. I mean, we know it's happening. I don't know why I'm kicking and screaming, fighting it all the way. Yeah, I'm going to fight it all the way.
Saul is not a good person. He does not deserve love.
Does not deserve. Thank you. Our Legion reference. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Saul's not a good person. He does not deserve love. He's really fucking it up here. Speaking of another person fucking it up, let's move to Mike. So Mike... hell was he thinking? He just arrives at Stacy's house. You know, it's his night to watch Kaylee. He's just gonna stroll on in like nothing ever happened. Stacy meets him in the driveway and says, well, you know, like, what are you doing here? And he just kind of blows it off like, oh yeah, I forgot last time I was here. I lost my temper and I scared her. I scared Kaylee. Let me go in and explain it to her. And Stacy is being really cautious with the words I think she's saying to Mike, but she is like, oh no, Kaylee's already forgotten all about that, you know, pop. I hate that she calls him pop. I don't know why. I hate that pop shit. I don't know, it's just dumb. Sorry to anybody out there that calls their grandfather pop. I'm sure there's a lot. You know, Stacy's like, and what if, you know, she's like, what if Kaylee brings up Maddie again? And you know, Mike's trying to just act like everything's fine. Stacy, her name is Stacy, right?
Yeah.
The daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Can't ever remember her name.
Feels anyway, like, she, yeah.
So, like, for part of it sounds right. And then I'm like, wait, is it Stacy? Anyway, this is like, what was I calling?
Jane.
Watchmen. Jane and Joan or whatever. Joan,
yeah.
Anyway. finally Stacy's like, look, Mike, something's wrong with you. Something's clearly wrong. You need to take a break and just get back to being yourself. And she says, why don't we just let the sitter that I called stay with Kaylee tonight and you just go on? You know, she just makes him leave. And he walks off clearly pissed. Super pissed. So what does Mike do when Mike gets pissed? Mike
kicks some ass.
Self-destruction, I think. He just goes further in this path of self-destruction. He intentionally decides to go walk by that same group of thugs from the other night. And of course they spot him. And of course they start following him. And then of course they start beating the shit out of him like we knew they could. And now they were ready for it. And then one of them, Dean, pulls out a knife and stabs him.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. At first, I was like, okay, they're going to beat him up. Then it looked like he had the upper hand for a minute.
Yeah, he kicked one in the nuts. He was getting some moves. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, when it was 8-on-1,
it only lasts. Stabbed him. And then everything went dark. I fully expected the credits to come up then.
Right,
I fully expected that. I was like, oh my God. But no, after just a moment of a dark scene, we get a little bit more. And Mike awakes in a strange room. I think this is definite evidence that time has passed, but not too much time. He's still very badly bruised, but he is bandaged. And he is... in a strange place. He walks outside. We get an overhead view that it's some sort of a compound, possibly in Mexico.
Yeah.
I think this is a definite sign that it was Gus. You know, maybe Gus had people following him this whole time. And so I think we're going to see that it was somehow Gus's men that save him from this attack and take him to the doctor in Mexico, probably.
Right. I'm hoping we almost get from the time it blacks out when he gets stabbed, we'll see that almost from someone else's point of view and then see what happens after that.
Probably nachos, right? Maybe it's nachos.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. Nacho's got enough going on. He can't also babysit Mike.
Right.
Maybe it'll be Tyrus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Victor was dealing with the drops. Right. So Tyrus is dealing with Mike, right? That makes sense.
Yep.
Whew, that's the end of the episode. Dean, who broke the most bad in this episode? Can I go first this
week?
Yeah,
please, please.
All right. It's so evident to me. I got to give it to Jimmy, to Saul. The bowling ball was just a line too far. Well, no, I'm sorry. The horse and the picture that he gives that man, that poor Mr. Acker, who's surely never seen anything like that before in his life. And then from there on out, it's only going to just get worse and worse for him. He's probably going to be the winner of a lot more episodes, but there you go. I'm going to give it to Saul.
I'm going to give it to Gus Fring for breaking poor Lyle.
Yeah. I almost thought about him too.
I was disappointed. We got no Nacho or Lalo in this.
No Nacho Grande.
Yeah, no Nacho Grande. No Nacho.
Yeah, that's what was missing. Lalo. Now, yeah, Nacho, Lalo. We need them in every episode. Please, writers, going forward, make sure we have a little Lalo Nacho.
Now,
sprinkle in a little Hector. We got to have those guys. Yeah.
10 episodes this season?
Yes.
All right, so we're at the midpoint next week, or this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, this was episode 5.
Oh, well, no, so we're at the midpoint.
Excuse me. No. This was episode 4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Season 5.
Yes.
Episode 4, yeah.
Yeah, so 6 more to go. Westworld starts this Sunday, and it's only going to be 8 episodes.
Yeah, so I did see an article that said the Westworld creators do hope that they get one more season.
All right. Well,
they haven't announced
too.
That this is the final season, which, I mean, I'm assuming that means they didn't write it as the final season, unless they write it with a way they're, you know, it could end and maybe a 4th season is even farther in the future or something like that. So
this is Mike TV's evolution from just doing the final seasons of shows to doing the penultimate and final seasons of shows. Sure. If we, I'm sure we'll cover Better Call Saul season 6. I'm
right.
100% sure of that.
Unless we're all dead by then.
Oh, yeah. I hope everybody out there is able to get the groceries that they need and the toilet paper that they need. And that I wish all the best to Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. And the, what was it? The leader of... I don't need prime minister of what some country.
Several. Justin Trudeau's wife from Canada, the Brazilian guy. Yeah, all sorts of people. Yeah.
Well,
what happens, happens.
Well, what will continue to happen is that we will continue to cover our shows as long as the internet and podcasting stays available, I guess.
That's right.
Until we'll all of our lines of communication are cut.
Yep.
We're going to be here.
So, any thoughts on Westworld coming up?
I'm dedicated to spending a little time this weekend. I know that you've tweeted me. So I've barely been on Twitter. Apologies to anybody who's waiting for a response from me on Twitter. Apologies. I've not gotten to this week's emails yet. And we did get some, and thank you to everybody who wrote in. I'll actually respond to emails and encourage you all to write back for comments for our next episode and also some Westworld comments. That's what we really, I think, want to start digging into. But I will watch the recap that you tweeted me, Dean. I know that you found something out there that I think it's pretty thorough, right?
Chronological timeline of what happened. So And it even shows like the episodes of which these, so it's like all the major events that lead through the first 2 seasons, and it tags like what episodes they're from. So you kind of see how season 2 especially was a lot of prequel part, you know, like a lot of backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But it does like the whole timeline from 47 years prior to season 1 all the way to where we possibly are now.
Yeah, I will definitely take a look at that and probably study it to a great degree. And then I will, my goal is to at least watch the final back half of season two. Right. I will say that HBO, as they always do, if you have, if you still have cable and you get all the HBO channels, I believe it's HBO 2 is running the full season two marathon.
If you don't have HBO Sunday, like they usually do, it's free this weekend because they're trying to get people to watch the new premiere. So if you, of course, by this time that weekend will probably be almost over, but
true.
If you get this Sunday morning, go find your DVR real quick. See if you can catch up.
Yeah, I would not recommend people dive into season three of Westworld without closely watching the first two seasons. I mean, really, I think you'll get the best experience if you know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, this is very much a Legion-esque show where you can't casually watch it.
Yeah, no, you definitely cannot be on your phone while you watch this show, Tim Andrews and Dean. You can be on the phone when you watch, say, The Masked Singer Below Deck or any of that other nonsense that people watch, but you cannot be on the phone when you watch Westworld. That is that ought to be, you know, in the Constitution. anything else before we close out our episode, Dean?
No, I think this was a nice little compact episode, and I look forward to seeing where we're going. I think we got to pick up a little bit of action coming up soon. We're going to find out what happened to Mike. I'm hoping Lalo will come crashing into the episode at some point and start trying to continue to mess things up for Gus. And again, we're slowly getting to whatever is going to send Kim away. I'm sure it'll won't happen until next season, but I think whatever is going to happen, it's going to start by the end of this season.
Well, I think that Mesa Verde somehow is going to find out that this was all, you know, as Saul starts to defend Mr. Acker and becomes a real foil for Mesa Verde, I do believe they're going to somehow catch wind that Kim has been involved in this ploy, and it is going to possibly sever all ties there.
Right.
And once she loses that arm of her career, of her business, that could be the breaking point for them, right?
Yeah,
even absolutely. Though she went to Saul for help, it's still going to go so badly for how it reflects upon her. The way he handles it is somehow going to affect her more than it does him.
Right, obviously. For sure.
Right.
Again, it's gonna affect her reputation. Doesn't care about the broken glass. She does.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We hope you also start listening to our Westworld coverage, which will be coming out very soon, as we are less than 36 hours away from season three premiere of Westworld as we record this.
Follow us on Twitter at MikeTV1 and at Rockdale_Tiger. Of course, make sure you wipe down your computer, desktop, or your phone with a disinfectant wipe.
Wash your hands. All you gotta do is
wash your hands. Wash your hand. Soak yourself in bleach if need be. Don't drink talk the bleach. To anybody. Yeah, don't touch anybody.
No. Remember,
alcohol kills the germs, but it's got to be 100 proof or more.
Listerine.
That's science.
Email us at miketvpodcast@gmail.com. Send us some emails, folks. I promise we'll read them on the next episode. All right. Well, and until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dean.
And please remember to
keep it thorough.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar. the better tasting, more refreshing zero sugar cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.